Leadership.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and to equip you to live a normal Christian life and a normal church life, that you might be one whom God could use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. And in today's episode, we want to see the matter of a man of God with the breath of God to counter the worsening of the decline. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes, "But know this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, not lovers of good, traitors, reckless, blinded with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an outward form of godliness, though denying its power. From these also turn away." Oh, Paul was expressing his concern that in the time of the worsening of the decline, all that we could expect would be that the trend would be downward. And he said, in the last days, difficult times will come. Dear brothers and sisters, when Paul wrote this, he was prophesying. Today, we are living in the reality, the fulfillment of what Paul was saying here. We are living in those difficult times in the last days, where all around us, what we see is lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. No self-control. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, to live in this age, we need an inoculation. We need a divine supply. But we have that supply. That supply is the good deposit that we've been talking about. Oh, each of us has a good deposit. We can exercise our conscience so that it could be a pure conscience. We have unfeigned faith, the divine gift, a strong spirit, eternal grace, incorruptible life, healthy words, and the indwelling spirit. We've seen this in the prior episodes. This is the deposit that we need to fan into flame. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to be aware. We need to be on the alert for all the things that would quench the fire in our spirit. We have a spirit of power. We have a spirit of love. We have a spirit of sober-mindedness. And Paul reminds us, fan into flame. We need to remind one another, fan into flame. And we need to be watchful of all the quenching elements around us, that surround us, even in the normal living of our day. So many things can come in to quench our fire. But today we come to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Paul gives this strong warning concerning the decline of the age and the worsening of the decline. Even in verse 13 of this chapter, he says, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But in 14 he says, "But you continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of." Yes, the age around us is worsening. We can see this day by day. But we have the divine supply. We have something within us that can preserve us against the worsening of the decline. And in this chapter, we see not only there is something within us, we also have the scriptures without. And this supply of the deposit within and the spirit without equips us to stand against the trend of this age. But before we touch the matter of the scriptures, I'd like to point out how much the beginning of the chapter emphasizes the matter of love. In verse 2, Paul talks about the lovers of self, lovers of money. In verse 4, he talks about lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There is an excellent footnote in the Recovery Version talking about this matter of love or lovers. I'd like to draw your attention to 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, and note number 2 on the matter of lovers. It reads, in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, 7 kinds of lovers are mentioned. 1, lovers of self. 2, lovers of money. 3, lovers of pleasure. 4, lovers of God. 5, lovers of good. 6, lovers of husbands. And finally, 7, lovers of children. Also, 2 kinds of non-lovers are mentioned. 1, non-lovers of good. And 2, non-lovers of God. Whatever one loves, his whole heart, even his entire being, is set on and occupied and possessed by. This is crucial. Whether there would be a day of glory in the church's victory or grievous days of the church's decline depends altogether on what kind of lovers we are. History tells us that the root of the church's decline was the loss of her first love toward the Lord. To maintain the victorious standard of the church, we must be lovers of God and lovers of the good that pertains to God's economy. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, every day we have to renew our love to the Lord. We have to set our heart toward the Lord and reset it every day. This matter is so crucial. In this note, it emphasizes whatever one loves, whatever his whole heart, even his entire being, is set on and occupied and possessed by. Really, the key is, what are we loving? Where are we setting? In what direction are we setting our heart? We do need to guard our heart from all the quenching factors that come in to quench our love for the Lord. But we also need to, every day, in a new way, reset our heart toward the Lord and tell him that we love him. Tell him that no matter what occurs that day, oh Lord, I love you and I want this day to be for you. But a most practical way to express our love to the Lord is to read his word. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him. O saints, if we love him, then we must keep his word. We must be those who are in his word daily. At the end of 2 Timothy 3, it says, but you continue in the things which you have learned, I'm reading from verse 14, and have been assured of, knowing from which ones you have received them, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Many of you have had this experience growing up in Christian families, that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, either through the help of your family or through the help of your children's meeting teachers. The Word of God has been being presented to you and being put inside of you. That's not a small thing. Eventually, that Word that is deposited within us over the years makes us wise unto salvation. Then in verse 16 it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Oh, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable, and it operates within us. It even equips us so that we might be someone who can stand in this age for the Lord's testimony against to be an anti-testimony against the decline of the church, against the worsening of the entire situation in the world. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need a daily relationship with the Word of God in the way of breathing. The Bible is God's breath, and this breath is the Spirit, and the Spirit gives life. Our reading of the Bible should be our inhaling of God to receive life. And then when we speak the word to others, that is our exhaling of God to impart life. That's how we are equipped. We're equipped by breathing, by taking the word in, by reading it, by pray reading it, by listening to messages on the word that explain the word, by reading the ministry books that also help us understand the word. Then whenever we have the opportunity and speak to someone, we become a teacher, as we touched last time. We can become a shepherd to them, feeding them with the nourishment of the word that we receive. We need the scriptures to become alive to us. We need to open our heart and exercise our spirit when we touch the word, when we read the word, to breathe in the elements of the word. Then that word will work in us. And actually, it'll even conquer and subdue all the negative elements that are within our own being. And the life element of the Bible will be imparted into us, and we will grow. This experience equips us to be a man of God. Whenever we are troubled by something negative within us, we should take the word of God by means of all prayer in spirit. When the negative things in us are killed through this kind of prayer reading, the Lord is victorious, and we are victorious in him. We're even preserved in the church life by receiving the word as the Spirit. The Spirit serves as a kind of spiritual antibiotic to kill the germs within us so that we can live a healthy church life. It's easy to be in the church life and be disappointed sometimes, or to be critical of others. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to run to the word, breathe in the word, exercise our spirit, pray read the word. All these negative things within us will be dealt with. Then we can have a very, very healthy church life. And it's even through the receiving of the word of God as the breath of God that eventually we are equipped to be a man of God, and we're fully equipped for every good work. Then, not only we're being preserved, but we can be those that even in the midst of this dark age, we can shine forth the Lord to others and join him for the accomplishing of his economy. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is a desperate need that there would be young people everywhere who are breathing in God's word, who are inhaling the Lord, breathing him in, and becoming men of God with the breath of God to counter the dark age. There is such a need. Oh, Lord Jesus, gain this in each of us, gain this in all of us. We love you and we love your word. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For ageturners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.